Hello, and welcome to the fifth episode of the Coach What Matters podcast, where we aim to bring you insightful discussions on the latest trends, strategies, and challenges in the world of business. I'm your host, Leslie Szymborski, coach and COO for Coach What Matters. Today's topic is the value of business coaching. I have with me my colleague and friend, Cesar Flores, enterprise coach and founder of Coach What Matters. And in case you're joining us for the first time, Cesar has over 20 years of executive coaching and leadership experience across diverse industries. Welcome again, Cesar.
Thank you, Leslie. Looking forward to it.
All right. Yeah, me too. Today, I just want to start by sharing some insights from the consulting firm Mercer and their thoughts on executive coaching and the value of executive coaching. They say executive coaching can lead to a 70% increase in individual performance, a 50% increase in team performance, and a 48% increase in organizational performance. Really big numbers, actually. And those numbers demonstrate quite a difference in overall outcomes. And since we have you here today with your 20 plus years of coaching experience, there's a couple of things I wanted to focus on that really are personal to you. And I know you've been asked a lot in your career. What makes you passionate about coaching people in the business arena? And I want to get to, why does coaching matter? Why do we see those numbers? I'm curious, and I'm sure our listeners are too. Could you tell us about your path in becoming an executive coach?
Yeah, I don't think anybody starts their career, at least I didn't, with saying I'm going to be a coach or I'm going to be an executive coach. For me, it was something that I stumbled upon. Early on in my career, I started as a project manager and then a program manager. And as such, you in those days, you know, you knew everything. You had to know everything, what was going on. And normally people gravitate towards you because you're supposed to know everything from what's happening on the technical side to what's happening with the timeline to what's happening with the milestones to how we're building to scope and things change. So you have everybody coming at you in a program from executive leadership to individual developers. To people that are being impacted by the program. So naturally, everybody gravitates towards you. And in the beginning, I thought this was more of a natural thing. I had to know all the information and everybody just gravitated towards me. As I transitioned into the agile world and all of that, I learned that it was more than that. To be a great Scrum Master, and in the best cases, the teams almost take on like your personality and all these things as you work through it. And they almost, you know, take the temperature based on what you're doing. So naturally, you become the coach of the team in a way. And also, as you transition into the managerial roles and things like that, you are now coaching Scrum Masters to being better coaches. But also as to be better Scrum Masters, but also as part of that, people in leadership ranks want to know more about how things work and how things ought to work. And me, I'm obsessed with solving problems and making things easier for everybody, efficiencies and redundant things, eliminating everything that we have to do twice. So that naturally gravitated towards, you know, the leadership ranks and people really gravitating towards me in scenarios where things needed to be solved. And then slowly you start to become people's confidant, people's partner, where they go to for career advice and they want to collaborate with you on a plan or they thinking of an idea and things like that. So that's how naturally I gravitated towards coaching and understood that really where I thrive is giving people the space that they need in order to be at their best. And that is how I progressed into the executive coaching role.
How did you know that you were good at this? Like, it sounds like there's psychology involved. There are, you know, recognition of efficiencies, redundancies you mentioned. You mentioned people sort of gravitating towards you as the program manager. What was it? How did you know that you had a knack for this?
One of the things that started to happen is really people's not only friendship, but gratitude towards what I was providing. And that was very satisfying to me, that I was actually in service to those folks. So that's how I knew that I was actually making a difference in people's lives, is them thanking me even years later for advice that I had given, and or helping them work through something. Even when it wasn't even my initiative or my program, at times I was celebrated as part of the team, even though I was just more consulting and things like that. So I knew from these feedbacks that I received that I was pretty good at it and I should continue down that path. And frankly, I loved it. I love the relationship part of it that you form with people, because it's not about a hierarchy. And that's huge for me. Like we establish these hierarchies in organizations. And if you're in a leadership position, sometimes people are timid to come up to you and just talk to you. And sometimes leaders don't make it easy to be approachable. So for me, as being a coach or an enterprise coach or an executive leadership coach, it made it very easy for me, people just to come to me, because even the title meant that, yeah, you could talk to this person no matter what, and doors always open. So through those feedback mechanisms and the approachability that I developed in the friendships is what made me realize that I was cut out for this.
In addition to being a coach, you're currently the CEO of Coach What Matters. What would you say to somebody if they were to ask you, because I don't know that it's obvious for everybody, what's the difference in the approach when you're the CEO and when you're the coach?
Well, you need to hold yourself up to the standard. And for me, the standard starts with the principles. The principles remain the same, whether you're a coach or a CEO. If you have good sound principles and what you believe in, you also manage the company the same way. You don't preach one thing outside the company and inside the company you do different things. For me, the principles remain the same. Where the differences are really in those tactics, in the goals and tasks and things that we have to do within the organization, and really the performance aspects of it as well. So that is more of the CEO aspect of things. From a coach, you really are a partner to whoever you're coaching, whether it's a business like an enterprise coach or whether it's an executive. It's a partnership. You're not task driven. You're not milestone driven. You're not goals driven. What you are driven is by a collaborative plan that you develop together as a partner. Where as a CEO, you live by the same principles, but those principles are translated differently into how you run the organization. So those are two different things.
We talked about in the beginning, you know, the different industries that you have worked with. Some that we didn't mention in this particular podcast, but we've talked about before. Technology, obviously, financial services, insurance and utilities. How do you as a coach approach, you know, the different challenges of different industries?
One of the things that we have to be careful about in coaching is that we don't think of ourselves as experts. A coach is focused on helping and helping the organization on its overall purpose and delivering value and how that translates into the operations. You really rely on those experts to tell you. But what you have to do as a coach is do enough homework to be able to ask the right questions. And that's really where that sweet spot is. If you go in there and you think you need to direct the activities, then you're going about it the wrong way. What you need to do first is learn from these folks, because they are the experts, and then be able to ask the powerful questions. The principles that drive a utilities company and the principles that drive a financial institution as businesses are the same, right? You know, in the most simplistic terms, both business types want a good, healthy employee environment that is safe, and they also want the ability to have long-term growth. There's no difference there. It doesn't matter what businesses that they're in. But as a coach, what you want to do is translate those principles into that specific environment. So in order to do that, you need to do your homework and be a great listener. If as a coach, you're doing most of the talking, especially in those first couple of weeks, then you're really just going about it the wrong way. You're not there to be the subject matter expert. That's where they come in. And that's why it's a partnership between the two sides. You're not going in there as and just giving out instructions. That's just the wrong way to approach it.
I want to read a quote from Eric Schmidt, the former CEO of Google. He wrote or said famously, "Everyone needs a coach. Every famous athlete, every performer has a coach. Somebody who can give them perspective. The one thing people are never good at is seeing themselves as others see them. A coach can help you do that." Now, from what you were just saying, you know, you don't go in as the experts. You have a method that you use, you know, time and time again. When you first start, like if you met somebody in the elevator and they said, "Hey, I'd love to talk to a business coach, but I never have before." What is it that you say to somebody so that they know what you can do for their company? I mean, those stats at the beginning, those were very high numbers of performance increases. Like, how do you start talking with somebody who's never had a business coach before?
I like to start with the energy that causes their why, and go from there. The why behind the need is extremely important. And you start there, because the why drives that focus that you need to enhance that specific skill set that they need in overcoming challenges. It starts with that, because the journey that you start with is exactly that. It is a journey. And they have to be a willing participant in that journey with you. You are not there to bring that energy on their behalf. They have to want it. And that is how every coaching engagement should start, is why do you want to go through this journey? And that why is the energy that's required to translate into focus, and also, as you get tactical, into a specific plan and going through that. So the first set of things is really just the questioning and listening. And then the other is providing that mirror that Eric Schmidt was talking about as the CEO of Google, is really being that mirror, offering true feedback without bias. And that is what a lot of CEOs do not get, or executive leaders. As a CEO of a company, you're used to walking the floor and people just saying yes to you all the time. And you start to lose perspective. So having really that person that can be unbiased and can tell you what's happening, and also holding you accountable to keeping you on track is extremely, extremely helpful. But they have to want it. And that is the method that I use. You translate that focus of the why into their purpose and into focus. And then as you get tactical into those actionable plans and collaborating through those, depending on the need of the business, but also depending on the need of the executive.
It all sounds good. There's overwhelming evidence that good coaching makes a profound impact on an organization's performance. What do you think keeps leaders from employing a business coach?
There's the number one reason is when you get into the leadership ranks, you got there by really displaying a certain behavior. And a lot of individual contributors get promoted to managers because they're very good at a skill set. And it is assumed that they become good managers based on whatever skill set that is. So if you're a great developer, you get promoted to a manager of developers, and it's assumed, you know, by other leaders, and the way that we do it today is assume that they're good people leaders as well for some reason. And then as you thrive in that manager position and you deliver, then you get promoted additionally, right, to another rank. And usually what happens is you become in those ranks, you start to believe that you understand everything and know everything. And your determination is such that it pushes you through all those obstacles. So once you get into the executive leadership ranks, you have a very strong personality with strong opinions. And you think as an individual that you know all. There's a lot of executive leaders sitting around a boardroom today that think they are the smartest person in the room, and they do not need a coach. And that is what's holding a lot of people back, is that they think they know everything and they can self-manage their ego as well. And that is what's stopping a lot of people from doing that. And those are the people that I never want to sell coaching to. If you're the kind of person that thinks they know everything, then great. Things are working out for you then. I do not, you know, you don't need me and you don't need any other coach. So those are the kind of people that we're talking about in this case, where they don't gravitate towards the coach. They know everything.
What was your best moment in coaching?
One of the hardest lessons I had to learn as a coach is not to have a predetermined destination for the person that I'm coaching. It's their journey. It's their path to walk. You are their coach. You are their guide. You are their confidant. You are their mirror. You are all of that. But they must reach that destination themselves. And to me, that was one of the most successful engagements that I've had, is really not having a predetermined destination for them, but really working through that with them and understanding where they want to, how that journey looks. At the end of any coaching engagement does not mean that it's the end of self-improvement. But what you're trying to do is really work yourself out of a job. What you're trying to get them to the point where they can coach themselves. And that is key. That is the most successful thing you could do as a coach, is have a person that can coach themselves, regardless of their journey or where they want to get to, because that's not a destination. And a lot of people don't want to hear that, because what they want in a coach is they want a milestone, and they want to know that you're going to get them there in a certain amount of time. And a lot of times that's how it's sold in commercials and the media and everything that you hear out there, is I'm going to get you to this point by this time. Well, that's great. That person that you're coaching falls off after that. What you want is that person, like in my case, that individual, to be able to coach themselves and really look at themselves in the mirror every morning and say, yes, this is what I want to do today. This is what I want to accomplish as part of my journey.
Yeah. And the flip side of that, you know, if, again, back to Eric's comment, every famous athlete, every performer has a coach. I mean, we see some pretty contentious relationships there between athlete and coach, performer and coach. And I think the same, you know, sort of ego thing can come into play there. But at the end of the day, when that athlete wins the contest and when that performer receives the accolades, the first person they're going to thank is, after mom and dad, their coach. So, but before the thank yous and the clapping, the applause, there's some contention often. Have you had that experience as well?
Yeah, absolutely. As a partner in the relationship, you have to understand that accountability is difficult and accountability is tough. And for somebody who's used to, in the executive ranks, who is used to seeing or and hearing a lot of yeses and all of that, it's very difficult to receive that accountability moment. And sometimes it's difficult to receive feedback. And a lot of good executives are good at faking receiving feedback. So there are some moments like that always. But just like someone said, it takes a great player to want to be coached. It also takes a great business executive to want to be coached as well, because that implies humility, being humble, and being humble enough to receive that, and being humble enough to process that what you're getting. And that is very difficult as human beings for us to do, and very difficult to give and get feedback and really receive that feedback in a way that you process it and not just shake your head and dismiss it. So yeah, there's moments like that always, but that accountability is extremely important. It is what is going to make those hugs that you were describing at the end, is thank you for holding me accountable to that. At the end of the day, they, you know, folks come around to that. But that is the trust that you build early on, and the agreements that you have with each other, because it's not a ranking system. It's a partnership. And the moment that is set, that starts that trust. I am not going to lie to you. I am going to tell you the facts. And no matter what, that's what I'm going to do. And a lot of people appreciate that. And those are the people that you want to coach.
I think it's hard for a lot of people to understand this role of coach. Something you said earlier about they want the destination. You know, when they sign up for a coach or they hire a coach, how are you going to get me from point A to point B? How do you like promote your value, you know, without saying I'm going to increase your organizational performance by 48%? You know, how do you have that conversation?
There's an implication in any number that you give that everybody is on board. There's an implication that everybody's aligned in focus. When you're coaching a business, it's different than when you're coaching an individual. As an enterprise coach, and you have a methodology, we have the blueprint that we use. Yes, there are certain things that we can measure. And yes, there are certain things that we want to get them to. But it requires everyone in the organization. And I don't mean it requires a couple of leaders and a couple of teams. It requires everyone to be on the same page. And I don't mean being on the page of the blueprint model. No. What I mean by that is that they are completely bought in into making your business successful. Everyone. And when you're coaching an individual, you're coaching that individual to be successful. And if you're coaching an executive, you're coaching an executive to make a difference in your business. If you are coaching the business, you're coaching the whole business to drive in the same way. And if everybody's driving in the same way, you are able to measure that journey. And you are able to set pivot points based on that journey. So what you're doing is you're establishing a pattern, a behavior that the whole business needs to follow as a system. And based on that, you can learn, you can inspect and adapt as a business together. And based on those things, yeah, you can establish certain metrics, but it takes the whole business to be in on it. Individuals, when you're making an individual better, sometimes that individual can draw friction on the business because they're looking out for themselves. And that's different. And that is the number one thing that I warn executives about if they want individual coaching, is that you want to make a difference in the business without causing friction. And that's key and important.
So let's talk about that, coaching the CEO. We have talked a lot in previous podcasts about the role of project manager and scrum master. What are the advantages of hiring the coach to work with a CEO? Presumably that's the most knowledgeable person in the company about their business. And so why do they need you?
The number one thing is blind spots that they're looking at, you know, and it's very difficult for a CEO to look out for their blind spot that they have and how they're are looking after the whole business. And the other thing is there's a human factor in this. It's very important that CEOs are guarded with their closest relationships that they have. The reason for that is the people that are closest to you are the ones that influence your thinking. Whether you believe that to be true or not, you develop a bias towards that. And as a CEO, you tend to get in a bubble of that. And what the coach is there to do is really to be that person that looks out for that, your tunnel visions. And are you really looking out for the bottom line or your business? Or are you looking out for your confidants? And there's a huge difference in that. Sometimes the CEO did not start the company. So while they're the CEO, they also need a foundational view of the organization and that purpose of that company. So they come in with their own way of doing things, but they sometimes do not have a good way of translating that into the company culture and looking out for those blind spots. They've been successful. There's a reason why they're the CEO. They've been successful in their own way of doing things. But how that translates into the frontline folks or the folks that are actually delivering the most value to the customers is very difficult. And that's where a coach can help tremendously.
Let me just ask you this question. When I say you hear enterprise coach and executive coach. Are those the same thing or two different things?
Really, it depends on the way that it's structured, right? So an enterprise coach is usually viewed as the go-to person for anybody in the organization. Where they can go to, whether it's a process, an initiative, or anything like that. The executive coach is really looking after the business from the executive level and spending a lot of time with the C-suite around that. And but it depends on the structure of it. I would say that it's easily for the executive coach to go into and also, as important initiatives come up, delve into that. But it takes a special individual to be able to translate everything from the C-suite and also understand how Agile works, to understand how weight states work, to understand how the operations of the whole business works, to understand the financials, to understand the impacts of teams and the value that they're driving. This is the kind of person you want to attract to your organization, the kind of person that can is easily versed at the team level and also at the executive level. Usually the enterprise coach is more well-versed in the processes, operations, and how teams work. But really at the executive level, you have to be able to look at everything. How HR is impacting the culture, how it's impacting the processes, how finance and the way that you do budget is impacting that culture, how legal risk and compliance is impacting the business, and also how this is driven throughout the whole organization.
So one final question. Why does coaching matter?
Yeah, this is I love this philosophical question. Because I'm here to tell you that if you're the kind of person that does not need a coach, coaching doesn't matter to you. And I would never want to sell coaching to anybody. The reason why, and we've talked about it throughout the podcast, but the main reason why is because it starts with the individual or business that wants to get better. And you need that energy and that in the journey to improve either the business or the individual. So if your business is doing amazing and awesome and everything is great, the people love coming to work and all that, then no, coaching doesn't matter to you. If you're an executive or a leader or a manager that knows everything, no, coaching doesn't matter to you. And I would never want to sell coaching to you. But what we're selling coaching to is those businesses that want to have that long-term growth through a pattern-based ecosystem and be able to have transparency in that journey. So that's why we didn't name it Why Coaching Matters, because it requires a partnership, a willing participant to go along with the journey. That is also why, you know, one of the tenets of our business is establishing a long-term relationship with our customers. We are not the type of business that wants to drop a presentation, you know, or spend a month with you and leave and never look back. We want a partnership with you and checkpoints and pivots and transparency and also be with you as part of the journey to ensure that the long-term growth is obtained and to ensure that we're a partner with you along the way with that.
Thank you so much for your time today and your willingness to share your stories and insights. It's always, always appreciated. Listeners, we want to thank you for tuning in. We hope you found our episode 5 insightful. We certainly enjoyed sharing some time with you today. Check out our website, www.coachwhatmatters.com, where you can find our previous podcast episodes and reach out to us for a one-on-one consultation. We're also social. You can find us on LinkedIn, Instagram, and YouTube. So like and follow us to always see what's new. Until next time, remember to engage with what matters most.